preaching on the evils of alcohol. He said, every bottle, every drop of alcohol ought to be poured in the river. And songwriter got up and started leading, "Shall we gather at the river?" I wanted to make a little bit of mention about the Church for Christ Disaster Relief. They're based out of Nashville, I believe, and they're usually some of the first ones to get to a place even before Red Cross to help out in a disaster like that. And they travel all over the country. They came here when a lot of our trees and things were down and a lot of damage done to houses and everything in one of those hurricanes, I forget which one. They set up over in Pineville parking lot. I went over and helped with that. And they do a lot of good. They've got a big truck, says Churches of Christ Disaster Relief. And so it gets the name of the church out there, and many times it's reported on the local news that they're there, and so it puts the church in a good light to know that they're there helping. And so if anybody can, I know it's not a good time for many who work, and some of us older folks, we got out there and tried to carry some of those boxes that had to be carrying us, so. I know that it's not easy for us on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock. So, but if you can help, it would be a great one of the things that helps them to be able to do all of this is volunteer work. And they usually have volunteer workers wherever they go. So Pineville, I think, is announcing it. They're a similar situation we are. Most of their people work and so they're not available for that. But if you could help Piggly Wiggly parking lot at 9 o'clock in the morning in Simsport. Our relationship with God, that psalm that we just read, Psalm 100, and David, he had a whole psalm to read. So.
Sure
not quite as bad as your three pages, but he had a whole psalm to read. All eight verses of it. Five verses of it. So in this psalm, we're told about our relationship with the Lord is based on what we do, where we go, and what we know, what we fill our minds with. And that basically, those three things define who we are. And it can define whether or not we're Christians or not. And so those three things are what we're going to be looking at tonight and considering how our relationship with God is based on those three things. First of all, what to do. Verses 1, 2, and 4. Basically say, make a shout to the Lord. Psalm 32:11 says, shout for joy, all you who upright in heart. Now, we don't do a lot of shouting in our services, and not sure exactly what this refers to. I know that there were, in the Old Testament, examples of people shouting out for the Lord, shouting out such things, praise the Lord, or whatever the case might be, acknowledging God and what he has done for them. And so part of that is that joyfulness in expressing to others how wonderful God is to us. And so it's something that we proclaim as mentioned in the prayer that we go into all the world and spread this, the shout for joy. And then we are to serve the Lord with gladness. So we make a joyful shout, talking to others about what God has done for us, letting them know that, and then serving him with gladness, not reluctantly, but with gladness. In Psalm 32:11, verse 8 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And so Rejoice, you righteous. Be glad, be happy. Serve the Lord with gladness. In Psalm 68, verse 3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Now, all of these verses and all of these scriptures that I'm using are coming from Psalms, since we're talking about Psalm 100. And so all of these verses will be coming from the book of Psalms. So again, let the righteous be glad. God's people ought to be the happiest people on the face of this earth. And sometimes we don't portray that to people. I'm going to be preaching on giving in the next coming weeks. And I remember one congregation I was in, I preached about the rich, and in a positive sense. And I remember one of the ladies said, I'm so thankful that you preached that, because I was beginning to think you thought it was a sin for anybody to be rich. And no, that's not true. But we ought to be the happiest people. Whatever our station in life is, we ought to be happy knowing that God is our God. And He loves us, He cares about us, and He's going to take care of us. And so we need to be glad and express that to others. Come before His presence with singing. Psalm 68 and verse 4, sing to God, sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds, by His name Yah, and rejoice before Him. I don't know how many of us sing apart from the building here. I know I've heard people singing, and sometimes tunes come to my mind, and I may sing a little bit of that. But this seems to indicate that we praise God in song anywhere, not just the church building, but anywhere we praise Him in song. It reminds me of the story of the old farmer who, this is way back in time when they plowed with horses and a plow, and this one old farmer couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And he sang out so loud that people in the congregation finally said, we need to do something about this. So three or four of the men got together, and they were going to go out and talk to him. And so they walked up to him. He's out plowing in his field. And they said, brother, we want to talk to you about your singing. And he said, oh, yes, said, I love to sing. As a matter of fact, I feel like singing now. Will you hold my horse for me? And he broke out in song, and they walked away with their heads hung down, because he was doing what God told him to do, to sing praises to Him, to shout out to the Lord. And sometimes God may be much more pleased with the one who sings out of tune than he is those that are so concerned about getting those notes right. And so come before His presence with singing. Sing praises to His name. Rejoice before Him. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Here, the shouting joyfully seems to be connected with the singing to the Lord. And in this situation, obviously, it says, come, let us sing to the Lord. It's talking about an assembly. We don't know a lot about what happened in the temple as far as singing is done. We know that in the synagogues, singing was done. But evidently, in the temple, singing was done. And it's going to talk, we're going to see some other things that kind of indicate that in some of these other scriptures. But come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And that's the reason we ought to be happy people, because God has saved us. We have that home in heaven waiting for us. And we know that whatever happens to us here, God's going to be there with us to go through it with us. And He's going to see that we make it through whatever happens and ultimately be with Him in heaven. Be thankful to Him. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And again, this shouting joyfully connected with singing, psalms. And so the psalms many times were sung, and they're designed to be sung. And so we need to express our thankfulness to him in song. Coming to his presence with thanksgiving. And that when we come into the presence of God, and we're told in the New Testament where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is there in our midst. And so when we come together, he is with us. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. It's not the building, but the people that make up the church. And so when we come together, we should be thankful to God for the salvation that he's provided for us. And again, shout joyfully to him with psalms, with singing. And so singing out, singing loud. You know, I can remember at various times, one congregation, particularly Holy Oak, Colorado, there were a couple of little boys who would just sing out. And they were like 2 and 3, 4 years old. And boy, you could hear them singing. And what a wonderful sound it was, because they sang loud. And that's what we should be doing, letting God know, shouting out in songs, and not being timid in our singing. Now, obviously, there are songs that need to be sung slower and softly, and even some of them will say softly, because that gets a somber message to us, perhaps, about Jesus on the cross or things like that. And so there are times for that. But we don't need to be ashamed of singing out and letting our voices be heard, because that's what this seems to be saying, and to do that with thankfulness. Bless his name, Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is written within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, you think about this, how do we bless the Lord? And again, this is talking about the Lord in a positive way. When we talk about blessing someone, you know, in the South, there's that idea that these little old ladies can say anything they want to somebody as long as they end it with bless their little heart. And so bless their little heart. And it's an expression of blessing go to them. I think when we use that term, bless their heart or bless them, we're talking about may good things come to them. But blessing the Lord is a term that's used quite often in the Psalms. And we bless him by doing his will and by being good servants to him, and by singing praises to him and letting him know how much we appreciate him and what he has done for us. And that's the reason it ends with, and forget not all his benefits. We bless the Lord because of the benefits that we receive from him, and we praise him, and connection sometimes between that blessing and praising him. So what to do is one of the things that determines whether or not we're Christians or not. And of course, we know in the New Testament, the plan of salvation, that we hear the word, we believe the word, we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus as the Son of God, and we're baptized into Christ and live faithfully. But all of that's tied up in what this is referring to about what to do in our relationship with God. And then where to go is the next part of this in verse 4. We are to go into his gates with thanksgiving. And this idea of going into his gates seems to indicate going into the temple and with an attitude of thankfulness. And that's so true, as I mentioned earlier, that when we come together, we ought to be thankful to God for the blessings he has given us. And as we come together to worship and praise him, it should always be with an attitude of thankfulness. And sometimes we get all wrapped up in and thinking negatively about something, something's going on around us that we don't like, or seeing somebody doing something out in the audience that in front of you or beside you or whatever that you don't like, and you get negative about all this, and you don't really benefit from the service. Sometimes it's kind of like the lady who asked her husband, "Did you notice the hat that Ms. So-and-so was wearing this morning?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Did you notice the dress that Sister So-and-so had on?" He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Did you notice what Brother So-and-so was doing during the service?" "No, I didn't." She said, finally, she said, "What on earth do you go to church for?" And sometimes that's the way people are. They're just looking for the negative. And we need to enter his gates with thanksgiving, being thankful that people are here. And they may not look like we'd like for them to look. They might act like we'd like for them to look. But we need to be thankful that they're here and appreciate that they are here. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 116, verse 17. "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord." The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you ever stop to think about your thankfulness as being a sacrifice? That we are giving something to God as we would give a sacrifice in this day and time when they offered sacrifices to God, that he considers thanksgiving as a sacrifice to him. And calling upon the name of the Lord. Calling upon the name of the Lord is, again, something that's used commonly in the Psalms. And calling upon him and expressing thankfulness and appreciation to him for what he's done for us. Verses 4 and 5 of this psalm, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations." And so we're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into the doors with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. And again, this seems to indicate that this is talking about in the temple where they would come together. Psalm 111, verse 1. "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." And so here we see it is the assembly and the congregation where God's people are congregated together. And here we see praise the Lord, much the way we saw bless the Lord. Here referring to praising the Lord. And those two, I think, are somewhat synonymous in what it's meaning, praising God, blessing God for what he has done for us. And so here, obviously referring into his courts with praise, into the assembly. Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." So again, this idea of praising God and with my whole heart being in it, and telling of his marvelous works. You remember the stones, when they would say in certain situations they'd pile up stones. And the purpose of that was when your children come and see these stones and say, "What do these stones mean?" You tell them the story of what happened there at that time. The crossing of the Red Sea, crossing over into Jordan, crossing the Jordan over into Canaan. Those stones that were stacked up there were a memorial to something, and a memorial is something that causes us to remember something. And so that was done so the children, when they said, "What do these stones mean?" then you tell them what happened at that place, that God caused the waters to dry up so that we pass over on dry land. Matter of fact, I think they have found a couple of places around the Red Sea where they may have been these stones that were piled up. And basing this on what was done at that time, they see some stones piled up that could possibly be what that was. And by the way, if you ever remember that song, "Here I Raise My Ebenezer," That's what that was talking about, those stones that were piled up. They called them Ebenezer. And so, I will tell of all your marvelous works. That was the purpose in those monuments or those stacks of rocks. Now we go out on a walk in the mountains or something, and we see these stones stacked up. You seen those stacks of stones? And I'm not sure anybody knows for sure what those are. I think it's just a matter of folks trying to see how many rocks they could stack on top of one another. But there doesn't seem to be any consensus of what exactly purpose in those stacks of rocks were or are. And many times, even when it's done in a state park or a national park, they say it's illegal for them to be doing that and treating the rocks in that way. So tell them of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I'll sing praise your name. Many of their songs and even the Psalms are references to things that God has done for his people. And so our songs, in much the same way, talking about what God has done for us. And we're expressing thanksgiving and rejoicing and praising God for what he has done for us. And then the third thing is what to know. What we fill our minds with says a lot about who we are and what we're doing. The Lord is God. We need to understand that God is in heaven and we are below. He is our creator. We are the creation. And so we need to understand that he is God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I can imagine here somebody just running frantically around and so anxious and worried and everything, and God says, be still and know that I am God. Stop your fretting. Don't worry so much. I am God, and I will be exalted. What he chooses to be done will be done, and you don't need to be worrying about it. He has made us and not we ourselves. He is our creator. We are the creation, Psalm 95:6. So come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. And when we understand, as I talked about this morning, that God is our creator, he knows what is best for us. And when we understand that, it makes it so much easier to do his will, because we understand that he's doing what he tells us to do is for our own good. He's not doing it to be mean to us. He's doing it because what he wants us to do is what is best for us. And our life will be blessed by doing his will. We are his people. We belong to him. Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. And so God is not going to cast us off. We can leave. Anybody can leave the protection of God, leave his hand, but it's an open hand. No one can snatch us out of his hand, but we can leave anytime we want to. But he's saying as long as we want him to be our God, we want him to be our deliverer, we want him to be all of those things that Psalms talk about him being to us, our provider, and so many ways that he blesses us, we need to remember that he is our God, and he will not cast us off as long as we're obedient to him. And he will not forsake the inheritance that he has promised for us. We are his sheep, Psalm 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And the 23rd Psalm, of course, talking about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so the idea is that he takes care of his sheep. And like a shepherd cares for his sheep, God is going to care for us. And perhaps even more so than the shepherd would care for his sheep. David talks about when he was a shepherd boy, how he protected the sheep from the bear and the lion. And so God is our ultimate shepherd. And Jesus is referred to in John 10 as the good shepherd. And so we're his sheep, and he's going to take care of us. And we simply need to follow him and do what he says and go where he says for us to go. So we need to understand that we are his sheep, and he's going to care for us. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is good. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is good. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And so the Lord is compassionate. We don't think sometimes, and people don't think of God as being compassionate. But the grace of God is referred to in the Old Testament. God is gracious. He is full of compassion. And so we see him many times punishing the evildoer, punishing those who are disobedient to him. But he does that in the same way we discipline people today in the church, so that they might come back to God, come back to church, and start living their life the way they should, so that they have eternal salvation rather than eternal destruction. So the Lord is compassionate. We need to understand that. His mercy is everlasting. There's the mercy of God, the grace of God. Psalm 103 and verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. So he's merciful to us as long as we treat him as he should be treated, with awe and respect, which I think is more the meaning here of that word fear. Treat him with awe and respect, then his mercy will be there forever, lasting with us, and he will be merciful toward us. His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 146 and 6, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. God's word is truth. And as we talked about this morning, we have to judge everything else by God's word. And when people are teaching us, we need to judge by God's word whether what they're teaching us is true or not. Those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica because they searched daily the scriptures to see if what they were being taught by the apostles was true. And we have to do that also. Many are led astray by following the wrong people. Jesus said, if the blind follow the blind, both are going to fall into the pit. It's not going to be an excuse to say, my preacher said this. You have to look and see what God's truth, God's word said. And that has to be the basis of what we do in our lives. Vengeance belongs to him. Psalm 94:1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He will repay. It's not our place to practice vengeance. It's not our place to punish the evildoer. That's God's place. And so vengeance belongs to him. We don't treat others the way we are treated in the sense of doing evil. We need to win over evil with doing good. Vengeance belongs to God. We need to understand that. We need to understand that he is forgiving. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so that lets us know that even in the Old Testament, God was willing to forgive those who did wrong, just as he is under the new covenant. The forgiveness of God has always been there for those who would return to him, as we talked about with the prodigal this morning. God is always waiting. God is represented by the Father in that story, longing to see that son return to him. And God was that way in the Old Testament. He is forgiving, as this says. Even when we sin, he didn't punish us according to our iniquities. If we're willing to repent and confess those things, acknowledge those things, he will forgive us, just like he will under the new covenant. The blood of Jesus will cover our sin. So we need to know that God is forgiving toward us. And so, again, our relationship with God depends on what you do, whether you're obedient to Him or not, where you go, whether you're assembling with the saints, whether you're taking advantage of all of the things that you should be doing, as well as not going certain places and realizing there are certain places that as a Christian I would not go. But we need to realize that where we go determines our relationship with God. And what you do, or what you know, rather, what do we fill our minds with? What do we spend time with? Are we concentrating on God and His will for us and the good things? Are we thinking negatively and not focusing on the good things in life and the godly things and putting our emphasis on setting our minds on things above, not on things of this earth? Now, obviously, we have to some extent, live here, and so there are things we have to do. We have to carry on a job. We have to do those jobs, but even in those areas where we're doing it as a job or a housewife or whatever the situation may be, God has told us how we need to act even in those situations. So we can be godly wherever we are. And so what you know, what you're filling your minds with is such an important part of our relationship with God. And so do you feel like you've got a good relationship with God? Are you doing what you should do? Are you going where you should go? Are you filling your mind with things you should be filling your mind with? If not, then you need to make some changes in your life. And if we can help you with that tonight, whether it be an initial obedience to God through repenting of your sins and confessing Him as your Lord and Master, as the Son of God, and being buried with Him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, or whether it be as a Christian to repent and confess sins that you made. Now, God is gracious and forgiving, and He wants to forgive you if you're willing to repent and confess that. So if there's any way we can help you in your relationship with God tonight, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
The Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those who could not partake of it this morning. If you would, turn your hymn books to page 856. 856. And as we sing the first stanzas, if you come have a seat on the front pew, after which we'll be served. 856. We all numbered. Let us sing. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call.
'Tis a fountain open for all.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here at this time to give you thanks and glory, Father, for allowing us to come together to be able to partake in this Lord's table, Father. Father, we pray that those who are partaking of it remember the body that you shed on the cross, Father, for the remission of our sins. All this we ask and give thanks to your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, Father, with bowed heads and humble hearts, giving you thanks for the blood that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins. Pray that those who are partaking of it keep that in mind, Father. All this we ask and give thanks to your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come to you once again, giving you thanks, Father, for all the blessings you have provided us on a daily basis, Father. Thank you for the food that you give us to eat, Father. Thank you for the water to drink. Thank you for the jobs that you give us to be able to provide for our family, Father. And we just pray at this time that we're able to give back, to be able to be helpful, to spread the words of your kingdom, Father. All this we ask and give thanks to your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us again this evening here at Jackson Street, those visitors that we have, and those for you online. Our last hymn this evening is going to come from page 835. Page 835. We'll sing all three stanzas, which after we'll be dismissed in prayer. If you're able to, let's all stand. Page 835, we all numbered. Let us sing. Oh, how sweet 'twill be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, how sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, how sweet, when he comes in in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, how sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by.
Let us all bow in a word of prayer.
Eternal Father in heaven, it's with great joy that we approach your throne of grace, Father, to thank you for this day that you've given us, this Lord's Day. And we pray as we've assembled here this day, Father, that everything that we've said and done and the mentality of our hearts and minds, Father, might have been pleasing and acceptable to you, and that all the things that we've done may have glorified you. And we just thank you for this opportunity, Father, and we pray that you will just go with us as we leave this place and bless us to have a week with you in mind and to accomplish and do your will. And we just thank you, Father, for loving us the way you do and for pouring your love out into our hearts that we might love others the way you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. All right, I had to regenerate a new persistent key. It's just been nothing but technical troubles today. And that. Okay. We're about to go, kiddo.
Thank you. the ones that I fixed so far. This one here is kind of torn, so I'm going to take it anyway to fix it. But it won't get worse. This one here is really, yeah, this one here got a torn page, so we're going to take care of that. Make it look brand new again. See that opening space there? Yeah, I got a... No, you got my lock, dude.
Oh, I won't lock you.
This one here has got a big hole in the middle.
As a matter of fact, yep. I think we're going to have to remind Larry to lock it when we leave. He had to drive all the way back.
Last 6 days, I forgot to lock it.
I said...
Until I got home, then I remember I forgot to lock it.
I said, honey, you're...
I set the alarm, so if anybody come in, it set the alarm off.
It's like Lisa, when we went to the house, she forgot to close the door when we went in. I took a nap, she took a nap. First time she took a nap. When I got up, I said, hey, you got to close the door. She goes, no, you didn't. I said, we did.
One of us did. I don't know which one.
Yeah, we
That's
did.
That's the way we are sometimes. I don't know which one, but one of us forgot that.
I'm not blaming.
Yeah,
I said, I'm not blaming nobody.
Because he's always...
Yeah, there wasn't any doubt on that one.
You say you got something back there that's all tore up?
I don't know, but there's a bunch of back there in the fellowship hall. And at one time, they were putting some back there. But I think those G.D. Mayfield may have fixed. I know she fixed some ones, and that may be the ones I'm remembering.
Yeah, I see a rip like this, I'll take them home.
Yeah, they're headed that way.
Yeah, I just cut them open and just read them. I just sit there at my table and just go in nice and calm. Lisa looks at me and she goes, you got everything you need to fix books, fix anything.
What you say that for?
I told her, be quiet. Shh. I said, do that. Somebody might hear you.
As
a matter of fact, you know what it is? He's the one that gifted me right there. He did that. I'll be honest with you, a person that don't know how to read. And she's capable of doing anything and succeed in life, that's because of him. He's been blessing me since I was a child. I kept ignoring it.
You know what? I bet somebody as smart as you are could learn to read.
Well, you know what? I tried.
You did?
Yeah. I tried hard. I went to adult school. Yeah. And
what seemed to be
I don't know. Then I also had a tutor. I had a tutor for like maybe 2 years. And I was doing good. And all of a sudden I just bam.
And
I just
don't remember it anymore.
I just couldn't do it. Someone just told me, it's not in you, not in you. And I kept telling a lady, you know, I said, I kept looking at her and I said, I know how to read it in my head. But I can't pronounce it. She went, I don't know. I said, I'm telling you. If you ask me any questions about this book we're reading, I can tell you. She was like, right. She was writing down next lesson, come back. I used to have 2 to 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. They worked out, and then I went to adult school from Monday to Friday. That didn't work. That didn't work at all. And I needed help with something. The teacher didn't have time. I used to get stuck on some of the words. I used to call her by her name, and she started getting mad. Don't you remember? I said, it's hard for me to remember. So then one time I needed her help, she didn't want to help me. I just got up from the class and walked away. I left my books there and I